So what we're going to do today is we're going to open up Matthew chapter 15. And Tony DiRienzo, he was here preaching a few weeks ago, probably 2 months ago, on Father's Day, actually. And Tony and I met, and we just, there was something that's fanning a flame for Tony that we want to do. So we're going to co-teach today. So I'm grateful for Tony, for Serena, for the DiRienzo family. For those of you who do not know him, we met several years ago and then reconnected a few years back, and Tony and the family has been with us pretty much from the beginning. They're amazing volunteers. The Eastside Cafe is Serena's just brainchild, and she makes it happen every week along with an awesome team. Tony does about 18 things, and his kid, two of his oldest kids, Katriana and Gloria, help out in the Vineyard Kids. And so Tony has a gift of teaching, and we're just fanning that into flame. So
I'm glad he's here.
So, okay. So I'm going to turn it over to Tony. Nice, smooth transition there. Take it over.
Awesome. You know, we in intro here that we had planned is not exactly what I'm going to do here, because what just happened there, Dan, and what God just prompted you to, I feel like there's something unscripted that he wants to happen here at this moment in time. You know, there's a lot of times we admire people for physical ability, for physical strength, and for things that they've accomplished. For me, there was, you know, recently, there's a guy who competed in the Olympics, Oscar Pistorius is his name, and he's a double amputee, and he was running the 400 meter. To me, that was so inspiring to see that. There was a time in my life where I was inspired by someone who pushed through physical challenges, and that was my older brother, who he died at 21 from Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And what Dan was saying about that is so key, that you need to realize in situations like that, that's not God's plan for this world. God didn't do those things. And I personally had an experience in that situation where when that happened, I said, in my heart, that wasn't God. And I was able to cope with that and say, you know what, God, let's push on and let's see a better world. Let's see your kingdom coming. Other people in my life, family members who believed that God had done that, it took years for them to get past that. So I know that that's not the direction that we're going today, but I needed to put that out there. The question really, though, I mean, thinking about that issue, people who inspire you for their physical ability, how often is it that we're really inspired by somebody's ability of heart, you know? You might try to think of somebody like that. If I say you can't answer Mother Teresa and you can't answer Billy Graham, you're left with a blank. Who do I admire for their heart? So that's really, I mean, that's a tough question that we kind of want to open that up with today. Yep. And I know Dan's got something to share from the scripture here.
Yeah, so we decided to ask that question, just like thinking through, we say, you know, with the Olympics or whatever, who do you admire for their outward ability, for their external, you know, their appearance, what they're able to do? And we can come up with athletes very quickly, even if you're not into sports. But then when you talk about the heart, the inside, that's really what matters to God. And so the sermon's titled Heart Disease. And what we're going to unpack today isn't about the organ that's pumping in your body right now, keeping us alive. It's about the other heart, the heart that's in the scriptures, that it's really the core of your being. So I'm excited about where we're going today. We are in Matthew chapter 15. We've been going through the first gospel of the New Testament, the first biography of Jesus, one story at a time, and we are in chapter 15 today, starting in verse 1, and I want to frame this by just having you think, do not answer out loud, but just process through me, and probably you wouldn't want to answer out loud anyway, but when was the last time, maybe it was this morning, an hour ago, maybe last night, maybe 20 times over the past week, where you either said something, you thought something, or you did something? And maybe immediately after those words came out of your mouth, or as soon as that action was done, immediately after, or maybe it was upon reflecting on it, maybe on like that night, or maybe at church or something like that, where you thought, that's not like me. Like, where did that come from? I don't do things like that. I can't believe that I said that. I can't believe that I did that. We have all been there. Maybe that happened today. You just thought that to yourself. Maybe you said it out loud to someone that you hurt with your words, or maybe it was just this kind of internal thought process. And if you ever asked that question to yourself and said, I don't know where that came from. If Jesus was in the room with you, he would raise his hand and go, I know where it came from. I know. Call on me. Okay, Jesus, where'd it come from? You go, that's easy. It came from your heart. It came from your heart. And that's language we don't think about all that much. It's kind of foreign, but that's what we're going to be preaching on today, Tony and I. So I want to dive into the scriptures, and I'm just going to point out a few things. There's 20 verses, and we're just going to touch on a few and then apply us to our lives. And I want to dive into this passage. But just be processing through again. The last time, again, maybe it was a half an hour ago, maybe it was in this service. Where did that thought come from? I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I said that. Verse 1 of chapter 15. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem and they asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now the Pharisees, right, they're kind of like the bad guys of the scriptures. They're known for their rules. They're known for focusing on external behaviors only, thinking that what matters most to God's eyes is what we do on the outside. So they have traditions of the elders that talk, and there's rules, and they have rules that enforce those rules. And one of these involved washing your hands before you eat. Now that is, by the way, a good thing to do. I do that. We encourage our girls to do that. But the reason the Pharisees said to do this wasn't to like keep germs away. It was because they believed that being unclean meant that you were defiled. So there was like a ceremonial thing that they were doing. Yes, when you washed your hands, you got like the germs and the dirt off of them. But for the Pharisees, it was more about a ceremonial thing, about going from being unclean to clean, all externally. And there isn't anything wrong with that tradition. It's something that, hey, why not do that? If that's what kind of, you know, is cool with you, do it. But Jesus says, you know, ultimately, that really isn't what matters to God's heart, ultimately. If you could do one thing today, don't wash your hands. I mean, like, do it, but if, you know, do more than that. Focus on what's inside. So Jesus uses their question as an opportunity to teach about what really matters to the heart of God. So we're going to jump to verse number 7. Jesus says, you hypocrites. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So the Pharisees get mad because the disciples of Jesus don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus calls them hypocrites, which means actor in Greek. You put a mask on. That's where the word comes from. And he quotes from Isaiah, who's in the Old Testament, 700 BC, and says, the words of Isaiah that are coming to pass in you guys today. You honor me with your lips. On the outside, everything looks great with you, but your hearts are far from me. And that phrase, the heart, is where we're going to dive into today. We're going to dig deep into that, so just keep that in mind. He says, you honor me with your lips, you honor me externally, but your hearts, what God sees on the inside, are far from me. Now, there's a crowd that's gathered, so Jesus now turns his attention from the Pharisees to the crowd. In verse 10, he says, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, I want you to understand, he says this, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of the mouth, that is what defiles them. Verse number 17, skipping ahead. Jesus says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes in the stomach and then out of the body? Biology 101, right? But the things that come out of a person's mouth, this is not biology 101. The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. From out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you choose to wash your hands before you eat, either way, that's not the point. That's not what really matters to the heart of God, ultimately. eating with unwashed hands that could be seen as defiled hands doesn't matter all that much, because whatever food you take in is not the point. Whatever you take into your mouth is not the point. It's what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of a person's mouth comes from their heart. And Jesus says that's what defiles us. And by the way, it's not just what comes out of our mouths. It's whatever comes out of us. If it's our thoughts, if it's our actions, or if it's our words, our thoughts that become words. It's what we say, it's what we think, it's what we do. Jesus says that's what defiles us. And all of those things that ultimately come from your heart. Now again, when Jesus is talking about your heart, it's not the organ that's pumping blood in your body. It's about the other heart. It's the heart that poets and authors and like Barry Manilow and, you know, people just sing, what preachers preach on. It's the other heart. It's the heart that back in high school broke when the boyfriend, the girlfriend, you know, didn't say yes to that date to prom. It's the heart that breaks when you turn on the news and there's tragedy. It's the heart that breaks when you see a double amputee and you say, why do I have legs and he doesn't? And man, thank God that he's excelling in what he's doing, but your heart just kind of breaks. That's the heart that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says that what comes out of the mouth comes from that heart. So in the Hebrew world, Christ Jesus, which is what he was a Jew, he was a Hebrew, the heart is the center of your being. It is the emotions, it's your feelings, it's your mood, it's your passion. See, as a Hebrew mind, it's like we are an integrated being. We are one. And like that deep down core of really like who you are, that is your heart. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says that is the heart out of which the mouth speaks. So 1,000 years before Jesus said what he said that day to the Pharisees, King Solomon wrote this. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he said, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That is the memory verse today in your program. I encourage you to commit that one to memory. See, Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus, right? And if you ever read the book of Proverbs, again in the Old Testament, Solomon authored a bulk of it. And he says this, it's interesting, above all else. If you bring your Bible, I would encourage you to circle that. If you don't and you borrow a Bible, circle that. Take it home with you, honestly. He is saying that above all else, in other words, out of all the Proverbs, all the wisdom, all the teaching that someone can teach you, if there was one thing, one teaching that you would focus your energy on, one thing that you would key on, above all else, guard your heart. For out of it, everything flows. Out of it, everything you do, everything you say, everything you think flows from, comes from, originates from your heart. So above all else, if there's only one thing you do, guard your heart. But instead of guarding our heart, here's what we tend to do. We tend to read that verse and we say or we think, above all else, guard how angry you get around others. I mean, you might be super mad, just don't show it. Focus on the external. Or we act like this verse says, above all else, guard what comes out of your mouth. You may just want to say something, but just guard it. If you're a kid, there's certain words you can't say, guard them, or there'll be the mouthwash out with soap thing. You know, guard your words. Above all else, guard what comes out of your mouth. You might be like really greedy, but just don't like say anything. You might be full of judgment. Just don't say it. Just guard your hearts. Keep them to yourself. Be careful. Like we're focused on the behavior modification or just taking care of ourselves, guarding what comes out, but what's in is what Jesus says matters. If we choose to do those things, we are addressing the symptom and not the cause. The root of being a jealous person or angry person or a greedy person, or pick your problem area. And we all have them. Jesus says we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. Yeah, sure, it's good to focus on external things and be smart about that. Sure, that's fine, but that's not the root of it. We need to guard our hearts. Guard your hearts above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. That's where we need to focus. And so as I was praying, that's what I really felt like the bulk of what I needed to share. And then I just been talking to Tony. He had some things on his heart that I just feel are just to apply this and to say, okay, how do we do that? So,
absolutely. And, you know, I think the important thing there, it's easy to overlook that and say, you know, why does that matter so much, what I'm letting into me? But what Jesus said, and this isn't the first time that he said it in Matthew. I mean, he keeps hounding these Pharisees about this. What goes in to you and what you store up in your heart is what's going to come out from you. And so Dan talked about some things that are not going to work as far as changing that heart. And, you know, like watching your words and be careful about all these things. Those sort of things, it's not going to cut it. But because they're all externally focused, they don't address the real issue, which is, how am I acting toward God? It's more the external things, they address the issue of what do other people think about me. That's not the important thing. It's not what do other people think about me. It's what do I think about God and how are my actions showing that. So I want to look at a few things that, you know, Serena and I have done in our life, and I know Dan and Kelly have made changes in their lives too, that show that kind of a focus. What's going to make that change? What's going to change our hearts so that it's going to change what comes out of us? The first thing that I have here, something that's going to work, is to resolve to put God first. Okay? He has to be the focus. You should ask yourself this question. Am I loving myself or am I loving God? In my actions, in my thoughts, in my words, am I loving myself or am I loving God? There's a verse in Joshua 24:15, and it says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is Joshua. He's just led the Israelite people into the land that God promised them, and he's giving them a commission. Choose what you're going to do. Choose who you're going to serve. And he says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He resolved in his heart, not just for himself, but for his household too. As the head of his household, he was going to make that commitment. We're going to serve the Lord. That's something Serena and I decided to do. It's been over 10 years ago now. And that decision radically changed our lives. We decided we want this verse to be the embodiment of who we are. When people look at, you know, Tony DiRanzo, when they look at Serena DiRanzo, when they look at our kids, we want them to think they serve the Lord. It's who they are. And I hope you want that to be said about you too. Now, the second thing that's going to work, that's going to bring this change, is you need to ask yourself some tough questions. And you need to be honest with yourself because you know your inside better than anybody else does. Other people, they see the fruit, they see evidence, but you know what's leading up to that. You know what's inside. So ask this question. What is it in my heart that motivates my thoughts, my words, and my actions? And maybe that's for you, that's the thing out of this service. You need to latch onto that. You need to process over that this week. And spend some time looking at different things in your life. And say, if loving God were the focus of everything in my life, would I be doing this? Would I be saying that? Would I be thinking those things? Be honest, okay? Now, God's not condemning you. He wants to change you. He wants you to be a better you. He wants you to be the you that he planned for you to be. Now, that really kind of brings us into the third thing, which is change something, okay? Change what you're putting into you. What are you letting into your heart? There's an amount of this stuff you can't avoid. We live in a broken world, okay? There's things, you're at the grocery store, you're in the checkout, there's magazines that, guys, you shouldn't be looking at that. There's tabloids, there's you know, they're making you think about gossip and things like that. In school classrooms, there's a worldview that's being taught sometimes that's godless. And if you're a student, you can't avoid that element of it. There's the radio station that your boss turns on at work. But what are the things that you have active control over, and what are you actually deciding to put into your heart? That's what I really want to key in on here. When you sit down to watch TV, what are you putting in your heart? When you sit down in front of your computer, you're surfing the web, what are you putting in your heart? When you're listening to podcasts or talk radio, what are you putting into your heart? When you rent a movie, pick out a book at the library or at the store, what are you putting in your heart? Now, I think it's more practical to give a couple ideas of things that you can change in this regard, because I know that there's things that are coming to your mind, but there's some big ones that are common to everybody, and there's some ones that are specific to you. I want to suggest that we're going to eliminate some negative things, but don't leave a void, because that's dangerous. What are you going to fill it with? Something else negative? Instead, find something positive to put into your heart, because that's the thing that's really going to bring that change, is having your heart filled with that love of God till it's overflowing, okay? So, examine yourself. Let God tell you what you need to change. But here's a few suggestions. Maybe this is for you. And this first one's real specific. If this is you, I'm talking to you, and there's a reason. God put this on my heart. Stop going to the bar to unwind. Some of you are thinking, I'm not doing that. Others of you are thinking, you know, that's an opportunity for me to witness. If that's really why you're there, if God's using you, I'm not talking to you. And you should know that in your heart already. But if you're going there and you're just like, you know, this is what I do at the end of the day. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have a couple beers. I'm just going to chill. What are you listening to when you're there? What's the conversation that's going on? What's going into your heart? What's coming out of your mouth? Be honest with yourself. Now, a lot of you used to go to the bar and you say, you know what, I got that down. I fixed that. But you're still bringing the bar to your house. And you're not sure what I mean by that. That's the next one. Turn off the TV. Got that? If you're completely honest with yourself about what you're watching when you turn on that TV, I think you might be surprised at the amount of lying, mocking, gossip, murder, adultery, fornication, stealing, cursing that goes on when you're watching that. And there's verses in the Bible about that. It says that you shouldn't be involved in those activities, okay? This is rough. I know. We like our TV. It's rough. But we need to be honest with ourselves. It wasn't like a New Year's resolution for me and Serena in this area. Some of you know we don't watch any TV. It just sort of happened back around that same time frame, 10 years ago. I remember distinctly coming home from work one day, sitting down with Serena to watch TV, and just being absolutely offended by what I was seeing. And the both of us just looked at it and said, what is this and why are we watching it? And it just started falling off from there, because we started seeing, if this offends God, if this is something that's not pleasing to Him, then why am I putting it into me? Because it's not making me into the person that He wants me to be. Recently, I know Dan and the advisory board, they've done a media fast. It's a challenge, but I want to challenge you to be revolutionary. Be countercultural. Don't be afraid of that. Yeah, your family's going to think that you went off the deep end. Trust me, they are. but it's okay. It's all right. Just turn it off. Maybe a week. Maybe you just want to say, you know what, God, I'm going to spend this week focused on you. I'm going to turn that off. Come back to it later and see what it is, really. You're not going to die, okay? Really, you're not. I'm still here, and it's been years. You're not going to die. You might actually end up being a little bit better person at the end of that week. You know, in the same line with TV, movies. I mean, we do watch movies. What's in those movies? What is it? Deanne and I were part of a healing prayer training class, and that just kind of wrapped up. We did the last lesson last Tuesday, and the woman who was teaching, Judith McNutt, she mentioned that movies are so often about getting revenge. We don't see that, you know, because we're just going and say, wow, this is a great plot line. There's a lot of action. This is awesome. It's you got this bad guy, and he's horrible. You got the good guy, and he just did something terrible to, you know, the bad guy did something terrible to him. And then you got the hero, and you're like, man, you need to get him. Yeah, you show him. And that's, it just gets this inside of us where we're not satisfied if the bad guy's not dead or in jail at the end of the movie. We're not satisfied. But that's anti-Christianity. Christianity is never about getting revenge. It's the exact opposite. It's about forgiveness, and it's about leaving vengeance to God. Because he said he'll handle that. He's capable. He can do it. He wants you to focus on you. If you want to get some vengeance on that garbage that's in your life. And that's what he's saying. He's saying focus on that first. Other people's sin, you don't need to retaliate against that. Retaliate against your own sin and let God retaliate against other people. So instead of watching a movie about, you know, getting that revenge, instead of that, pick something for a change that's going to encourage your faith and inspire you to love God. One that recently, you know, I watched, I really like, and I think you will too, is a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. Great movie. Recommend it to you if you haven't seen it. The last thing that I want you to change, and I really think you're going to appreciate it, is increase your intake of God. It's not enough, like I said earlier, just to cut off the garbage. Increase your intake of God. I can pretty well guarantee you you're not at risk of going over your recommended daily value. I don't think there's too many people in here that are already at that cap, you know. So this is something great that Dan just put together. This is a Bible reading plan, and I know he's mentioned it before, that he's going through the Bible in a year. And so he's typed this out. If you get the emails, there's a PDF that you can download, or these are back at the table in the lobby if you want to pick one up. I encourage you. You start doing that. Do a daily Bible reading plan. Instead of watching TV, you decide that you're going to read the Bible out loud with your family, you know, with your spouse, with your kids. Talk to your kids about what you're reading. That's great. You know, you don't need to go to church just to learn about the Bible. You can do that at home. And I know a lot of you are, but if you're not, start. It doesn't hurt. It helps. You can read a Christian book. I read books with the kids. We do story time in the night. This is one that we recently read. This one's called The Quest for the Silver Castle. And this book is an allegory, and it's a fun story, action-packed. The kids, you know, read another chapter, Dad, read another chapter. It's time to go to bed. But it's about forgiveness. It's about loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And just encouraging yourself. You're being entertained, but you're encouraging yourself. You're moving more toward that. We're not about, you know, stagnating in your faith here at the Vineyard. You're not about staying where you are. So even if you feel like you're doing good, God wants to bring you up. You can come another step up. I want to encourage you, really, don't leave here today without having a goal. What am I going to do that's going to guard my heart? What am I going to do that's going to put more of God into my heart? Yeah, maybe something off of this list is really seriously going to stretch you. But I want to encourage you, do something. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that stretch discourage you. Because think about the difference that this kind of practical commitment is going to make in your life. A commitment to guarding your heart. If we decide to seriously start loving God in everything that we're doing, what we're putting into ourselves, instead of that bad fruit, you know, Jesus talked about a diseased tree, bad fruit coming from that. That's back in Matthew chapter 7. Instead of that bad fruit, instead of things coming out of our mouths defiling us and defiling the other people around us, we're going to have what Proverbs is talking about, a wellspring of life. And we're going to start seeing healing in people's lives around us. I think it's worth it.
Absolutely, and it's this is an interesting sermon. It's like it's titled in the study Bible, "That Which Defiles." And anytime you have the word defile in a scripture heading, you know this is like not going to be a spoonful of sugar, you know, kind of thing. But it's something that honestly, like just as say Kelly and I are processing our lives, you know, and saying, you know, the world, this is not a newsflash, but like where society is going and where the world is going is not necessarily exactly in step at all with where God's going and where he wants us to go. And so, but what happens is that I think as American Christians, we just get caught up in the world. And it's like, that's the way the river's flowing, so we just kind of hop in the stream, and we just kind of get caught up in the current. And, you know, especially if you're in high school and college, like, just the peer pressure to do all the stuff, but then it doesn't stop when you're in your 30s and 40s and, you know, beyond that. It's just, this is the world, and this is what we watch on TV, and this is what we take in. And just, I would say this, to me, the challenge of how Tony worked on the application was to just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit with whatever you're doing this week, to just have that check. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind this church service, what Tony said, what I'm saying, with whatever you're doing, whatever you're choosing to take in to your body through your words or through your eyes or through your skin. And then in that moment, ask yourself and say, you know what? Is this, am I guarding? Am I welcoming in the stuff that ultimately isn't going to take me to where God wants to take me? And just kind of work on that and process that. And by the way, it's easy in a sermon like this to start doing something in a practice, and now you start to judge everybody that isn't doing what you're doing. Thou shalt not do. Don't do that, man. Focus on what God's doing with you, because God's doing what he's doing with you. And don't worry about what God's doing with anybody else, because everyone's on a different part of the journey. And so you just need to say, all right, God, how do you want me to guard my heart, in the journey that I'm on with you? What decisions, God, do you want me to make? Just me. Maybe for your family as well. Maybe you draw that line in the sand and say, you know what? We're going to do something totally insane. We are going to unplug the TV from the wall for 7 days. And you're not going to die. Tony's alive. And just try it. Turn off sports talk radio for a week and just kind of see at the end of that week and go, how am I doing in my heart? How am I doing? And I bet if you just take that step, you'll say, you know what? This is good. And again, like, we're not on a commune, right, and all that, so I mean we're in the world. But let's just press into that and press in and say, in every decision, every action, every way we entertain ourselves, and most of the ways we do it is entertainment. Even if it's gossip, it's entertaining, right? Well, how do you choose to entertain yourself? And just press into that. So this is not about heaping loads of guilt. This is just saying, if there's something you feel that's a nudge, trust that's the Holy Spirit bringing a good conviction inside of you. Say, hey, why don't we try something this week and just see what God does? Above all else, guard your hearts. May we live, that scripture, it's true, but may we live it as if it's true. Above all else, no matter what else we do, what matters most in our lives is how we guard our hearts. And we have that choice to make, because out of our heart, everything flows. I want to be a church, I want to be a fan, I want to be a dad, I want to be a husband, be a pastor that guards my heart above all else. And that's my hope and prayer for you guys. So with that, let's just pray and just ask God for that to be a reality. You want to close your eyes, bow your heads. God, I know, Father, yeah, this is a tough message. That which defiles. It's just a tough title of a passage from Scripture, God, but it's in there and it is inspired by you. We need that. God, so often as a Christian, we pray what David prayed in Psalm number, I think it was 51, create in me a pure heart, O God. Create in me a pure heart. And that's something we need to pray. But God, may we not stop at simply praying. May we not pray that prayer and then just make decisions that don't guard our hearts, God. But may you supernaturally press into and help transform us. Give us the strength and power to turn off things that we don't need and change the channel and put things down and pick things up. May you give us that power inside of us. So may you create in us a new heart, God, and may we guard it. May we partner by the power of your Holy Spirit, the strength to guard our hearts. God, it is the wellspring of life. From it, everything flows. That is true, and may we live in that truth this week at the Vineyard. Not just as we walk out of here, God, but Monday, Tuesday, all throughout this week, God, may we guard our hearts. May we live intentionally this week, guarding our hearts, and may you transform us in that process. God, may you open our eyes to the things that we have taken in that have been enemies of our heart ultimately. And just stop that. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.